Moreton Bay's Home of Classic Hits, and time now to talk about lace making, which has a rich history but is also an art form. It now finds itself on the endangered species list of activities. Teresa Murphy has been a member of the Australian Lace Guild for over 25 years and is the current Queensland Division President. Congratulations, too, by the way, with the Bachelor of Science and also 30 years of experience in IT. She believes her expertise and creative passion in a multiple traditional and contemporary lace-making techniques enables her to think outside the box when problem-solving. Teresa joins 101.5 FM this morning to talk about what is being done to save this dying craft. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi, Shane.
When we think of lace today, Teresa, we think of wedding dresses, lace curtains, doilies, love doilies, and the exquisite tablecloths of our grandmother's era. Can you briefly explain its history?
Yeah, absolutely. It's believed that what we know as lace today started in the 16th century, which is quite a long time ago. But the exact origin of lace is actually quite disputed, unfortunately, because our records are very limited and lace hasn't survived from that time very much. But it appears to have come from Europe somewhere, Italy, Spain, Belgium, somewhere in that area. Over time, as different countries started to embrace lace making, the new techniques and styles were invented, and they were often named after their region. For example, there's a Flanders lace, there's a Maltese lace. Lace making was actually once a money-making option for women, and families would make the same pattern of a continuous lace over and over. And then about once a month, a trader would come and they'd cut that lace off and they would pay the family for however many yards they had made. Then in the early 19th century, a gentleman called John Levers invented a machine which could produce both the background and the pattern of the fancy laces. And unfortunately, that led to the demise of the handmade lace industry. Today, it's mostly just a wonderfully relaxing hobby.
The number of professionals in the UK whose main income is from lace making can be counted on two hands these days. Extraordinarily, when you consider the population of 69 million people, the Australian Lace Guild was incorporated in 1985. So how does the Queensland branch revive the interest in this beautiful traditional craft?
Well, as well as trying to raise awareness that there is actually a guild which covers lace, such as lace knitting, crocheting, tatting, bobbin lace, right? We're also working really hard to shake off that it's only doilies viewpoint. And we're trying to showcase lace both as an art form and its practical application for the 21st century. Crocheted water bottles, right, are a really good, or crocheted water bottle holders, I should say, are a really good recent example. They're very practical, they're eco-friendly, and people can customise them. But most people don't know that the crochet that they're doing is actually a form of lace. They also often don't know that there are many different types of crochet. There's Irish crochet, there's fillet crochet, there's hairpin crochet. So while a lot of the lace made today is still fairly traditional, lace makers have incorporated more colour and modern media. One of our fabulous Queensland lace makers has used recycled plastic bags to make large-scale hanging art forms of lace. We also have bobbin lace makers using fine copper wire to make wire lace jewellery and things like 3D Christmas decorations. We're seeing a resurgence in knitting and crocheting with the 30-something, which I think is actually a combination of the slow fashion trend, some stress relief therapy, and the satisfaction of creating something themselves. So we've been ramping up our social media presence and our physical appearances over the last 80 months to try and tap into this new generation and the slow fashion trend.
Well, now you're bringing a very special exhibition to the Caboolture Historical Village for the month of September. Teresa, what will we see?
I'm really, really excited about this exhibition in conjunction with the Historical Village. We've curated a display of lace from the Queensland Division's collection. Most of this lace has never actually been seen in public before. One of the beautiful antique pieces is a fabulous silk Milanese collar, which is over 200 years old. There are also many other vintage pieces of lace, from baby's jackets and bonnets to a super fine black lace shawl. But we've also included a whole heap of modern lace pieces, a stunning artificial planet made out of bobbin lace, a rocket ship, some fabulous jewellery, and several wearable pieces. As well as the display, if you want to see lace being made, the Queensland Lace Makers will be at the village demonstrating lace on each Saturday in September from 9 in the morning until lunchtime. And you can even have a go at bobbin lace yourself. So it's going to be absolutely fascinating.
Do yourself a favour, get along to the Caboolture Historical Village for the month of September. It will not only be a trip down memory lane, which is nice, and a trip into the future of textiles you can take a part of. And Teresa Murphy, president of the Queensland Lace Guild, keeping our community connected and informed. If you'd like to listen again to the story of lace making, go to 1015fm.com.au and search for the podcast. And don't forget, on our events page, you can also see the event as well, when it's happening, where it's happening, and how to get there at 1015fm.com.au.